This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You've got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Sarasota, Florida, on this lovely Thursday, March 29th of 2007. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast. With me, as always, is the crack technical staff, Johnny. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hi. How are you doing?
You know, I'm feeling really good. I'm relaxed. I'm on vacation. How about you?
I'm good.
Also on vacation?
Also on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here in Sarasota, and we've been here for 5 days now, right?
Yeah.
And
it's
only,
almost over.
That's right, it's almost over. We usually make a two-week trip down here, but this year we only have the vacation time for 1 week. So here we are.
I only had the vacation time for 1 week.
That's true. I got to give it to my employer. They do provide me the time off.
Yeah.
We have 5 weeks of paid time
off.
They're
all about
the
time off.
And they're very flexible about working
from home. You get like 20 paid holidays off. My company gives 4.
And when they had to close the office for snow, they paid us.
Can you believe that? Why?
I don't know.
I was threatened with not getting paid.
I know. They
wouldn't I'm not being allowed to use my sick time.
I know. They wouldn't even let you use your vacation time or your sick time.
What?
I don't know
what that's for.
I don't know what's wrong with the people at your company, but
they're kind of weird sometimes about a few things.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. But, you know, my company, on the other hand, I think is almost a little bit too lenient on that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think I would pay my employees for a day when I had to close the office for snow.
Right.
Unless they wanted to take paid time off.
Yeah.
But you know what? This conversation has really strayed from the point.
That's true.
Which is the fact, and we're talking about work on a vacation. We're on vacation!
Yeah, how did we do that?
I don't know. We're talking about how much time we had off. You could hear the birds chirping in the background. That's because the windows are open on this lovely, lovely day in Sarasota. And, you know, it's always been
low. And we're spending
it
inside and talking into the microphone.
It's been in the low 80s the whole week. It's in the direct sunlight of Ed Smith Stadium feels hotter than hell. But you get into the shade, and it's just as lovely as can be. And you, go and get some ice cream and some Dippin' Dots and some peanuts. And
melts before you get back.
That's right.
It's awesome.
So how about them Reds, huh? Been watching nothing, doing baseball every freaking day since we've been
that's
on
right.
vacation. It's a great vacation. I highly recommend it to anyone out there who's a baseball fan.
They've been doing okay.
Yeah.
There's some bright spots here and there.
Well, you know, yesterday...
Well, almost nothing but bright spots, really. I mean, we haven't had to see Milton pitch a single game.
Speaking of the pitchers, yesterday we saw Aaron Hirango.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about
him. I'm not concerned. I think he's so established that he doesn't have to try in spring training. You know, he can hold back his pitches and not show them to the Pirates, which is who he pitched
against
yesterday.
True.
Against yesterday. And he can, he can just kind of... screw around and still be named the opening day starter, which he has. So congratulations to Aaron Hirango on that. That'll be his second year in a row.
I do expect him to do much better than he did last
year.
Well,
I should hope so.
I don't think he had a clue what he was getting into last year. He never really pitched a game
that's right.
that big before.
That's a big game. That's like the big game in Cincinnati because considering how long it's been since they've been taking
postseason
action.
Hopefully, we're going to get bigger games eventually.
Well, you know, there's a weekend series with the Cardinals this year. So, I mean, we're already moving up in the world right there. But in any event, last year when Harang started on opening day, he got just whacked. He got smacked around. He was they lost 17-6.
I don't know, there was a lot of scoring.
16-7 that game against the Cubs of all people.
It made it look like the Cubs were going to have a decent offense or something.
Yeah, that was not true. But it's against the Cubs again this year.
That's
so
right.
We'll have
will history
treat
repeat?
That.
I don't think so.
I mean the Cubs are maybe better than they were last season, but
I mean
think
just
that
for that
Hirang
game
is
particular.
Hirang is a lot better
yeah.
off than he was then too. have we seen Arroyo go? Seems like we have, but I can't remember.
Maybe he goes today.
He does go today. We'll see him pitch against the Twins this evening.
You know, Hirang was limiting his pitches. I don't think he threw much. He threw much more than fastball and changeup against the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
But even doing that, he didn't allow any real damage. I mean, he had a few hits, but, you know, singles.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed a few runs, but, I mean, he wasn't letting single-A hitters knock balls out of the park.
Well, as it turns out, the Reds can hit a few runs, too. So if your starter goes out there and gives up 3, it's not, you know,
That's
a death sentence
bad, right.
for the Reds, as it turns out. But then, so we mentioned Arroyo. We haven't really, really seen much of him. He might have been pitching the first day we came in.
You know, he might have, but...
And I was so severely sleep-deprived that...
Jet-lagged.
Jet-lagged. I know, we haven't even changed time zones, so I'm jet-lagged. But to be fair, we did have to get up...
Climate-lagged, I don't know.
We have to get up at 2 in the morning to make our flight, so I was pretty tired. Not quite as tired as after the game in Clearwater the other day, though, when we were finally rolling back in at 1 in the morning.
1 in the morning.
See, the thing about Clearwater is we don't make the trips out to the away games for very many of them because it's just not worth it. It's a lot of driving in the car. If I wanted to drive in the car, I'd stay in Indiana. I mean,
That's right.
A lot of driving at home. And in Florida, you know, I kind of want to hang out at the beach. But for Clearwater, we make the trip because Winter loves the playground. They've got a kid zone. And they've got, it's got a playground, it's got, the first year it had a big inflatable jumping house, the bounce housing.
Right.
And, but this year it had a speed pitch instead. And they've got, like, you know, kids concession stand where the counter where you pay is actually, like, short enough for kids to give the money. It's kind of cute. And, you know, they like kids all, you know, they don't sell beer there. It's all, like, ice
kids
cream.
Kids beer.
Kids beer. I don't know if they had that. But in any event, like, the first year we went, we were pretty exhausted. That was a very tiring trip because we made a lot of away games.
parks as we could get to.
We were staying in just the most god-awful hotel. And so we wanted to stay out of it as much as we could. And we weren't getting enough sleep. We weren't resting enough. And in any event, so we'd go in there and we're, like, already the walking dead. We're so tired. He sees the playground and he's just, like... compelled. It's like some force is drawing him and he's unable to stop playing even though he's obviously sleeping on his feet as he runs around this playground. So we now it's our annual tradition. We go out to there. He can play on the playground. Then afterwards we go to this cute little pizza place that's in the parking lot of the stadium.
Right. It's a great little place. I think it was a chain.
It was a Chicago style pizza place.
It was Chicago style pizza. I don't know. They had lots of beer too.
Lots of beer. Very
lots
friendly.
Of TVs. And bright, clean.
So, yeah, our plan this year was we'll go in, and Winter can play on the playground, and one of us can watch the game, and then we'll go get some Chicago-style pizza and catch the end of the women's Purdue game. But then, of course, we get there, and Winter sees the playground, and we do play there for a little while, but, you know, at 5 years old, well, almost six, he's getting to be a little too big for the playground. He got bored before too long, and then... And we ended up being back in our seats for the first pitch, which I think is the first pitch I've ever seen.
At that park?
Bright House Networks Field.
Well, I think I saw the first pitch the first year we were there, but that was because I wasn't with you guys.
Right.
We took a walk.
Right.
And, like...
Well, that was what we used to do, was like, well, okay, it's my turn, I'll take him for a walk.
Yeah.
And then when I was the one who got up with him, and we start walking, we see the playground, I'm like, I'm not going to see any of this game. I knew immediately, as soon as I saw it, like, oh, that's all the baseball I'm seeing today.
I think, and we didn't have cell phones on it at the
that's
time,
right,
so I'm like,
that's at the time.
Sitting there, one inning, two innings, like, okay, what the hell? So I finally get up and... you can actually walk all the way around the stadium.
Because you started the other direction.
But I started the other way and walked all the way around. And and then I saw the playground area and I'm like, oh!
Yeah, that's the answer. but that wasn't the case this year at all.
Nope.
We were back in our seats for the first pitch. We did spend another inning there, like, later. He decided he wanted to go back. But pretty much he was about the Dippin' Dots. And peanuts. Suddenly,
that's this first game where he wanted peanuts. I don't know where that came from.
He's wanted peanuts. He got peanuts at an Indians game, a Bats Indians game.
Oh.
One time. But he wasn't very good at it. You know, like opening the peanuts and stuff was pretty tricky for him. But man, he's suddenly a pro at it, which is so strange because I never eat peanuts. They make me kind of sick. I mean,
I don't eat them because I don't care for the taste that much.
And there you
but
go.
He loves
them. He sits there and he says...
Ate almost the whole bag himself.
I know. Ate the whole... And he is 6 years old. Well, he's not 6 years old. He's 5 years old. Almost six. You wouldn't think there'd be enough room in his body for that many peanuts. In any event, we are getting away from the baseball.
Oh, peanuts.
Peanuts.
About baseball.
And it's adorable. He's also starting to watch some of the game, which I think is a little bit late, as many games as he's been to only just now be starting to pay attention.
Yeah.
But we're starting to get... He's got such an interest in math and numbers... that if we can get him interested in the numbers on the guys' backs...
If only there were math in baseball.
No, seriously. I know. It's sort of like... sort of like a Darth Vader kind of Luke Skywalker kind of thing, where I'm going to have a stat head child.
Yeah.
You know, and through no fault of my own.
Well, like, you didn't like math as a kid.
Well, that's true. Are you saying I don't like math now?
Yes. You hate it. Ever since it killed your puppy.
I will kick your parabolic ass, mister.
Better than a hyperbolic.
Anyway, so then after the game, we go out to get some pizza, and the pizza place is closed.
Yeah.
It's like the times they are changing, man. We ended up at Chili's in the middle of the night, and then they got such a rush, like, they had turned off the ovens and everything, and then suddenly all these people come in, they had to turn the ovens back on, we didn't get our food for, like, half an hour.
Oh, man.
And then, so we're finally rolling out of there at midnight, and didn't get back until 1, which does not sound like that late. You know, my college days, getting back at 1 a.m. would have been, like, normal. It wouldn't have been strange at all, but, man, I don't know, I've gotten to be an old lady.
Yeah, I guess.
I can we're asleep by 11.
Being in the sun exhausts me.
Oh, totally.
I'm starting to get used to it, though, but, like, at the first few days, like, sitting there, third inning, oh, so warm, so tired.
Yeah, need shade. And there isn't very much shade to be had at Ed Smith Stadium.
Nope.
I think that in the future, if we make this trip again, we're going to want to sit up further away from the field and in the shade, because it makes the game so much more pleasant, and I don't care about autographs anyway.
Yeah.
And you've got this great lens on the camera, and you're taking fantastic pictures, even from up high.
Yeah, so there's a few I've really liked.
Yeah. That one of Friel and Dunn out after Friel is knocked on his ass after running into the wall into the water.
Dang, that was scary.
That was scary, because he just kept kind of, he'd start to get up and then kind of fall back down and roll around a little bit, and then he'd, you know, start to move and then get back down on the ground again, just like, man, have we lost yet another center fielder? But he seems to be doing all right, I guess. He's just,
Bruised.
Seeing stars is all.
Bruised all over.
Little blue birds flying around his head. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Anyway, so, as we were saying, what were we saying? I know that I was trying to go through the rotation. We talked about Arroyo.
We talked about Harang.
Have we talked about Milton? He's awful.
He's just awful. We have not seen him pitch. We've seen Belial pitch, I believe. No, we saw Livingston. We saw Livingston go against
SK. I'm not done with Milton. What's going on with Milton, man? Because I don't believe he is really awful. But there's always something wrong with him. And it makes him awful.
I don't know.
It's like somebody, I think somebody in a comment on Red Hot Mama mentioned excuses. Like, there's always an excuse for why Milton's bad.
Yeah.
And it seems to be true. It's like, I have a hard time believing he's genuinely this bad, if he could get everything to fire on all cylinders, but for some reason or another, something is always wrong. He's got to get it together, man.
I don't know. Does he have another start before the season?
I don't know. And, you know, they're talking about, everyone's always called him the third starter, and we're no longer calling him that. Even if he does end up pitching third, I'm not calling him the third starter.
I was thinking fourth, and that Lowe should be ahead of him for the longest time, but now, no.
Knocking him all the way
unless
down
he shows huh? something, he's fifth, and they're skipping him chance they get.
We have seen some pretty good performances out of the guys competing for the fifth spot.
That's right.
You know, we've seen, like you mentioned, we saw Livingston pitch against
Daisuke. And guess who got the attention, though? $100 million man.
Consider this. I got an email from a Pirates fan. Who was asking me a question about a Reds player so that he could, for his fantasy league. And then, kind of as a postscript, he adds on, oh, by the way, sorry that you got, smacked around by Daisuke on national TV. That happened to us, too. I'm like, dude, what part of that game looked like that he got smacked around by Daisuke? I will acknowledge that he did not allow any hits. However, he had 5 walks, and and there was a runner that reached on an error. But 5 walks, dude. I mean, this is $100 million man. Doesn't it seem like he ought to be a little bit more dominating than that? Not only that, but then Livingston on the other side of the fence, you know, works the same amount of time, gives up only 1 hit, and only like, 1 walk or 4 walk? I don't know. Something less than that. But nevertheless,
you know, it doesn't matter.
He's making nothing.
Yeah, it was the same number of runs.
It was the same number of runs.
Which is really all that counts in the end.
Same number of runs, and then of course the Reds went on to win that game.
That's
they
right.
gave him a drubbing, 6-0. So, You know, I think that what I'm getting at is that it's like I keep hearing media reports and people seem to think that the Reds aren't doing well or that the Reds aren't going to finish well. Oh, the Reds are... We got the copy of Sports Illustrated that actually mentions Red Hot Mama in it, which still to this day boggles my mind, even though I'm coming in last in the voting. Like, way, way, way last. Like, I think that I might be the only one who voted for me. And but they list...
I voted.
But they
I think
project,
I voted for you.
they project the Reds to come in sixth in the division. And it's like... It's like people are looking at the same picture as we are of the Reds and seeing completely different things. It's like, how can you look at that game, Daisuke versus Livingston, and they come to get, you know, they both allow the same number of runs, and to look at that and say, oh, Daisuke kicked their ass. How can you look at that and see that?
I know we're obviously...
I don't know, but obviously people are.
And we're, you know, wanting the Reds to win, but I cannot see them, even in the worst, most pessimistic projection, finishing last in the division.
Oh, no.
I think the most pessimistic I could get is that they would be fifth. And that would be... Also, okay. Other teams would have to really crap out, too.
I don't know, man. I mean...
A lot of bad like things would have to happen, but...
You got something?
Well, we're speaking to talking more or less about the rotation. Mm-hmm. The Sports Illustrated's projected starting rotation for the Reds. Aaron Harang, Bronson Arroyo, Kyle Loesch, yeah, it's top three. Eric Milton, they have him at four, which at the time of publication, I'm sure that was daring. Ooh, because he had been the three. And then fifth, winning the fifth spot, Mike Belisle.
Mike Belisle?
Mike Belisle.
What in the hell? Well, that goes to show you how much Sports Illustrated knows about this team. Mr. Mike Belisle winning the
And
fifth
I guess, you know, they do have a point. If Mike Belisle is their fifth starter...
they won't be doing very well.
Right.
Because he's imaginary. He does not exist. He might be some guy.
Also great about the thing, the Reds preview in the magazine, is they're one of only two teams with an ad breaking up the two-page spread.
The other
team, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
This goes to show you how much respect the Reds get. But you know what? They can go ahead and not give them any respect because, you know, the Reds can come around and kick some ass and it's all good. But on the other hand, maybe it's not because I think that there have probably been teams who have gone to win the World Series that then people still after the fact said, yeah, but they just won it by luck. They still suck.
You mean like the Cardinals? You think they got that last year?
Dude, they really did get it by luck. I mean, not because it's just amazing, I think, that they swept the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers
they,
are they pretty
got,
good.
The Tigers won one game.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I thought they swept them. It was in five.
Yeah, I think so.
Nevertheless, to think that they dominated them that much was pretty impressive.
Who do you think will get the, what is it, third, fourth
the
slot,
third spot
in rotation now that the fifth one is Milton's?
Yeah, I guess that Loesch probably does bump up to three.
Probably.
And so now we're talking about the competition being for four. You know, I really don't know. We have not seen enough of the players' pitch for me to have any firsthand.
Yeah.
But the competition seems good. I mean, there's going to be a decent starter there. You know, better than nothing. better than Mike Belisle.
The options we've had in previous years.
Exactly.
They've got Belisle and Livingston have just been doing excellent. The only problem is they both have options.
Yeah. So they're going to get the short end of the stick on that.
Most likely, because there's Kirk Sarlos and Victor Santos, who both have a lot of major league starting experience and have both been average pitchers.
Now, I don't know why I have such a negative feeling about Victor Santos.
Because he was with the Pirates.
It could be. It just seems like I remember him being in games and giving up a lot of walks or you know, giving up a lot of runs, but it's not true because this spring he's actually been quite good.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why. Maybe I hope it's not premonition. I hope he's not going to make the team and then be really bad. But
if he is, they'll have Belisle or Livingston or
others. That's
true.
They do have some options.
Homer Bailey.
Backing up there. You can hear in the background them. It sounds like the condo is mowing the lawn.
We're on the third floor.
Yeah, but the windows are open. This condo is kind of funny because, you know, last year we stayed in a condo. We rented a condo out for 2 weeks, and it was like a hotel room. I mean, it was an apartment, but it was like a hotel room in that it seemed like it was pretty much set up in a very standard way. And,
yeah.
You know, and you could...
Here are your towels, here are...
Yeah, exactly. Now, we come into this one, and I feel like I'm staying at a little old lady's house. It's sort of like grandma went away for a week, and she said we could use her place while she's gone. Because there's stuff in the closets, there's stuff in the drawers...
Photo albums,
there's like boxes of junk... Like like in the utility closet, there's like a box you might find in anyone's medicine cabinet with like a Band-Aid here and I don't know, tweezers and like, you know, stuff. Like just cause that definitely is not intended to be used by the people who use the condo.
Right.
You know, there's like hats in the closet and it's really strange. but it's nice.
But it's nice and it's one. Just across the street from the beach.
That's right. We don't have to find a place to park to go to the beach, which I don't know if you've heard about the traffic and the parking in Sarasota, but oh my God. The traffic is incredible because these are the worst drivers. I don't know if it's...
I think it's something in the nasty-smelling water.
Oh, the water does smell nasty. You don't want to get water at a restaurant unless it's bottled because it smells pretty bad.
Or really well-filtered.
Yeah. There's people who are from out of town, and so there's always that element of it where people just don't know what to do. Then there's a lot of old people who drive too slow and, you know, have really large cars and are way too cautious about pulling out into things. And then there's just, like, bad driving. There's a whole lot of just bad driving, and I don't know what to attribute that to. Like, the other day, we're on, like, the big road, and then there's a crossroad. That's somebody's coming off that crossroad, turning left onto the big road. So there's like, you know, it's four lanes plus a middle lane on the big road that we're on. And the person pulls out, does not go into the middle lane to turn left, but stops right in the middle of the lane of oncoming traffic. Huh.
So we close the window to make it a little bit better.
Yeah, it's not actually a lawnmower. It's a guy with a leaf blower walking along the third floor, I guess, blowing off debris. It's really annoying.
Yeah, well, you know, we would just pause or record it another time, but we've been trying to
record this damn
record
podcast.
This thing. Tried to do it once when we were way too sleepy and cranky.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. I did a lot of snapping at the crack technical staff, and it just didn't sound very nice.
But here we are on vacation, spending our time.
Yeah, and recording. And look at how much time we're spending. We're all the way up to like 20 minutes on this podcast. Anyway, as we were saying,
Driving's bad. A lot of people,
bad drivers.
Pick their lane. They're going to have to, if they have to make a turn left in like 20 miles, they're in the left turn lane 20 miles before they need to be. So that's interesting. But yeah. It kind of makes you have to do that.
Yeah.
Because people don't change lanes so well. No. And it's kind of crowded too. So they're like, well, okay.
Yeah. And then of course, we have to freaking drive through the village. Everywhere we go, it seems like. And so there's all these pedestrians.
Well, that's just because there's
drunk college students and just really inconsiderate walkers and stuff. And you have to yield to them in the crosswalks, but they don't feel the need to go at the crosswalks. They'll cross any old place, and it's just like, man, this sucks.
Well, there's two bridges off the island, so I've started taking the one that goes around where all the college kids are, even though it's more out of the way.
I think it's been slightly better.
Yeah.
You still have the bad drivers, but anyway.
So we've talked about the rotation.
Lots
of options.
How's the lineup looking?
Well, we've been seeing that.
Oh, heck yeah. I tell you what, they've been starting with Friel. And he's a little bit banged up now after that game in Clearwater, but I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
And then we've seen Dunn batting second, I think, every game except for one. Except for last night when Friel wasn't leading off.
Yeah.
So it's been Dunn in the two hole, and which I guess makes some sense. He's he's been on base a lot.
Yeah.
But we've also seen him hit some home runs, which, you know, isn't terrifically useful once he's only the second hitter and Friel's the only one on in front of him. But I don't know.
Rally killers always have their,
yeah,
you know, good points.
And then who do we got batting third?
It's been Phillips a lot.
Phillips, I guess I could see that. Again, it seems like it would make more sense to swap those two, but I can understand why.
Naren's got this idea that he should alternate righties and lefties throughout the entire lineup. So. Mm-hmm. I know it makes it harder in later innings, but I don't know.
Well,
I don't buy it that you need it to alternate at 1-1-1-1. I mean, if the hitters are good enough, you can put two together.
Well, that's
having
the thing.
Three together.
There's so many of them. You know, when they want to switch, you know, when we're playing the Cardinals and LaRusso's going to swap, do the matchup, and he wants to bring in a right-hander or a left-hander against the lefties, you know, it makes it nice that he has to, you know, then swap back out for the very next batter. But
sure, you know, that's great
so
against
many,
the Cardinals.
There's so many left-handers in the lineup that it seems like, dude, bite the bullet and let two of them be together if it's better for the lineup.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I think it's a pretty solid lineup so far. I just think it's a dubious theory.
But it kind of knocks Griffey down to fourth, which is, seems like it would be a good
place for him. He's
been
batting fifth, too, some of the times.
If he has, he hasn't been alternating with the righties, then.
They've had Eddie, like, it depends on who leads off, I think, because they've had Eddie batting fourth and Griffey fifth. I don't know. I know, but Griffey batted fifth recently.
And that, well, if he did it yesterday, then that was because everything was mixed up because Friel wasn't leading off. They had two right-handers to start off the lineup, and then
okay. Yeah, he's been batting fourth. You're right.
So then, yeah, and then they have Eddie after that, and that's a pretty powerful center of the lineup right there. Eddie can come through with the home run, and
he's shown he's better than average with runners in scoring position, or at least he was last year. We'll see if that is something he's just better at, or if it was just a fluke.
Well, he's not better than average in the field.
No.
That's okay, because the rest of the infield is pretty good.
Despite Alex Gonzalez making errors on consecutive games on, routine little grounders.
I know, it doesn't even... It's just looked like he spazzed out. It looks like he just stopped trying. Like, oh, yeah, there's the ball. Oops.
One of them took a slightly funny hop, but he should have been ready. He should have been able to react because that's his job.
For the superlative infield defense that he's supposed to be providing, one would think he could take an odd hop. But, man, Phillips is badass. Man, that guy is the bomb. He's making throw. We saw in the first game that we watched, he made this throw to second that came up the middle, and Gonzalez is running up to second, and he catches it kind of odd, kind of up by his face. So his arm's kind of weird, so he has to flip it backwards immediately over to second. It was just right on the money. It was just so impressive. And then he flashes this smile to the crowd. That guy is so Hollywood. It's amazing. And then then around the horn to Hatteberg over at first, and
he's, or Javi.
I know
he made some
Javi's
excellent plays yesterday.
Javi's been playing at first a lot this spring, and he is looking good over there. He's a good little option to have over at first base. I think that he did this last spring training too.
Yeah.
They played him at first, and then they never did during the regular season. But they ought to, because
he's
a good
little
first
they've
baseman.
Got a shortstop who can throw to first.
Good point.
Like Felipe, that was his biggest issue.
Yeah, the throw
was way overthrowing, and you have to throw in a guy there who's taller, like Hatteberg, than Valentin. So maybe we'll see Valentin during the season at first.
That would be awesome. I'm not so crazy about Konine. But I think that's not because it doesn't really have anything to do with Konine. It has to do with the fact that he was supposed to be
Craig Wilson. That's right.
So that's really unfair to Konine, but nevertheless, it's the way I feel.
Konine's just a backup, so, that isn't terribly important.
Yeah, I think that it seems like the talk of him being the platoon seems to have faded more to him being the backup. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like, though, that Krivsky's making comments about the third catcher being important.
That's right. Well, if they have Javi doing pinch-hitting duties and playing first base occasionally,
yeah,
I'm all for having another catcher.
You know what? In that case, I'm okay with it, too. I just am not okay with it being Moeller.
Yeah.
Why in the hell did we trade away LaRue and then pick up Moeller?
Yeah, and the team is essentially playing all of LaRue's salary still.
No
it's
kidding.
Like...
Yeah, I was in the stadium. I was in the stands for one of the games, and I'm listening to this old guy in front of me, and he was lamenting the loss of LaRue, too. And I thought it was kind of funny because it wasn't really based on anything, just that he liked him, which I don't think is something that people... I think that's something people discount. But, it's a sport. It's entertainment. If the fans like someone, that's part of their entertainment, and that's part of the reason we follow a team. So to discount that as, oh, ha, 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 we don't just because someone likes him, that's not important. Well, that's stupid. I mean, of course, it's important. It's part of why people follow the team. But in any event, the guy's like, I don't know why they got rid of that LaRue. He seemed like a good guy to me. I'm like, yeah, he was a good guy. And he was also, I mean, I think that he's going to do well in Kansas City, and I think that the idea to trade him was fine. But like we've said over and over again, you got to trade him for something. You have to. If you're not going to trade him for something, you have to give away his salary, yeah. Which they didn't do either of. They're paying him to play for Kansas City. And then picked up Moeller, who does the same damn thing that LaRue did. He's not that
he's better. He's much worse, in fact.
Why? This doesn't make any sense.
In so many instances, the theory that seems to be behind the moves is sound.
Yeah.
Like, let's trade some of our surplus offense for pitching. Let's trade, we've got an excess of catchers. Let's trade one of them.
Yes. And then the execution, poor.
Yeah.
Poor. The, Krivsky was sitting in the stands right, like, five rows in front of us. I should have gone down there and asked him. Like, what the hell were you thinking, man? What are you talking about?
Or at least, at the very least, commented on his popped-up collar.
Oh, he was wearing he had the collar popped. He was looking, I assume it was to keep the sun off of his neck, but, you know, you always have that sinking feeling that he thought it looked cool. Kriv dog, that does not look cool.
Speaking of cool, at the restaurant we went to last night in Bradenton.
That's right.
There was this... Oh, it was a very expensive-looking car.
Well,
it had
it was a Chevy.
Rims. It was...
It was a Chevy, but it was something, like, pimped out.
It was a shiny black paint, and then it was just accented with all this silver.
Yeah, it was, like, totally chromed out. I don't know what it was exactly, but it was... The windows were black. The side windows were tinted black. And they had Oklahoma plates.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. And then there was a big old license plate on the front. Big old vanity plate on the front that was the MLB logo.
The little guy holding a bat.
The guy holding the bat.
Except it wasn't red, white, and blue.
No, it was a black and chrome. It was, Anyway, so I'm not sure who it was. We go into the restaurant trying to figure out, like, this has got to be someone. Like, what kind of lame ass drives this car?
Because I was thinking it was going to be David Littlefield's.
Yeah.
We're in Bradenton. That's Pittsburgh's.
That's right.
But I think it was a player.
It was a player.
Yeah.
It was kind of a lame player because especially in the Cody's Roadhouse where we were, because it wasn't exactly an upscale joint.
No.
It was a nice place. Don't get me wrong.
It was open.
I liked it, you know, yeah. But, it was kind of grubby. It was a roadhouse is what it was. It was fine.
But it had peanuts.
It did have peanuts, which then our son proceeded to eat instead of his supper. And ended up bringing home the majority of his little pepperoni pizza, which is fine, too.
Now, did the car's rims, were they the ones that spin? Did you catch that?
I don't think they were the spinning rims.
Okay.
Which, I think are pretty cool. So, that would have actually made the car cooler. I thought the car was fairly lame. But maybe if I saw the person driving it, I would have been, more impressed with it. I thought it was fairly lame. I thought it was a car that said, hey, look at me. I have something to do with Major League Baseball.
Right. So we'll have to look up...
who's from Oklahoma in the Pittsburgh organization.
Probably Pittsburgh players.
Yeah. It could also be someone from the Reds.
It could be. It's close enough. But
there's enough places to eat in Sarasota that I wouldn't think you'd go all the way to freaking Bradenton to go to the Cody's Roadhouse. I could be wrong. Who knows? But in any event, again, we digress. Long story short, the Reds looking pretty good.
I think so. Better than sixth, at least.
Better than sixth.
At worst, fifth. At best, World Series champions.
You never know. The Cardinals managed to do it. Mm-hmm. What about the Dice K? We need to talk about him because that's going to get us more hits on this podcast.
Ooh,
if we can throw his name in here more. What did you think? Were you impressed?
He was better than I thought he would be.
An interesting little wind-up.
Yeah, it was
a little continuous motion kind of action going on there.
Yeah, stopped at the top and then suddenly...
Boom. It was kind of the Tai Chi version of the wind-up.
He built up his energy and released it. I thought...
He's kind of wild. He's kind of all over
the place. I know there are very specific, rules in Major League Baseball about when you have to stop and mm-hmm. the minimum amount of time you have to pause there, like with the ball and the glove and the ball at the waist and then up at the top. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he'll have balk issues because some of his
one can hope.
Movements. I'm sure the Yankees have addressed that with him over and over to get him used to them. I'm sure there's
the Yankees.
The Red Sox. I said the wrong team.
Oh, I thought you meant the Yankees were like getting prepared and ready to call him on it, because they probably are. Oh,
they probably are.
They got a guy assigned to it. Be ready.
I'm sure the Red Sox pitching staff has taught him and like told him the rules and all that. So it's probably not going to be an issue. But
well, he didn't have any issues with that, but he had the issues with it not being able to find the strike zone.
Yeah.
And then there was catcher's interference on one play. That was the strangest play of that game because, Ross hits the ball. He hits, like, an easy grounder to second. He's running down to first. He's obviously out. And then the inning just continues. And he's on first. And everyone's like, what in the... And then they didn't address it on the PA or anything. It's
that
just would have
been real quick.
And the next batter is, you know, it could have been just like...
Or at least put it up on the scoreboard.
Something.
I haven't seen them do that at all this year. In years previous, they would... show like if there was an error, who it was on. I haven't seen that up on the scoreboard at all. You know, I bet David Storm isn't there.
David Storm, we need you in Sarasota to take care of these things for us. The announcer does feel free to, like, I mean, they were playing bingo yesterday, and again, another thing that our son loved because it had numbers, and when he would come up, he'd come on every time, and like we didn't even get. Like, they didn't even run out of prizes in bingo because the Reds had so few plays. It seemed like they were just up and down, up and down. And they only call the numbers after the Reds, when the Reds are at bat, and not when the pitcher is at bat for some reason. And pinch hitters are excluded, too. So every time he'd come on and he'd be like, the pitcher participate in the Reds, in the bingo. And then everyone would boo.
And it seemed like he did that for pinch hitters, too, but it seemed like the pinch hitters were doing the most of the work.
The pinch hitters were doing all of the action. And, like, the crowd would boo, and then he'd respond to it. He was like, oh, sorry about that. You're a tough crowd. kind of thing. I'm like, yeah, you could say that. You could have told us it was catcher's interference that got David Ross on base because nobody could figure it out. The guy in front of me actually said, oh, that must have been catcher's interference, which was the only reason I had any idea what might have been going on. And then later I saw in the box score that there was an error under attack that was the catcher's interference.
Funny.
But, you know, other than that... you know, there was also the walks that got runners on. Yeah. And, yeah, none of
them
scored.
It seemed like, no, none of them scored, but any time you walk, that's just not a good recipe for success.
Exactly. Like, just because none of them scored this time doesn't mean that
all it takes
they
is
they couldn't
one have. Hit, and pitchers make mistakes all the time.
Exactly. And he got five walks. You know, you line those up next to each other, and that's two runs right there.
That's right.
So...
Which is what Red Sox reliever did later in the game.
Exactly. Yeah, they Papelbon came on after
whoever that was
after Daisuke, but he didn't allow the runs. He was actually all right. And then the guy after that, I can't remember who it was the one who gave up all the runs. And then it's the Red Sox in front of us thought it was the Red Sox fans in front of us thought it was Papelbon, so they were all down on him after that. But you know, that's the dangers of spring training.
That's the dangers of
not having your name on your jerseys, Red
that's
Sox.
Right.
Hello. So
jeez.
In any event, not worth $100 million.
I don't think so.
I don't think anyone thought he was going to be worth $100 million. Really, they were just like
they were
so
just
desperate
terrified that the Yankees were going
to
get him.
So desperate to keep the Yankees from getting him that they were willing to do it, willing to spend more money than the Reds spend on their entire team.
That's right.
Yay! But nevertheless, the Reds beat him. So there you go. Anyway,
let's hope they beat many, many more teams that are more expensive than them.
Yes, because that's about all of them. And the Pirates.
And the Pirates.
So if we spent enough of our vacation talking on the, podcast,
so.
And we wasted enough of everyone else's time.
And it's going to take even more time to upload this thing over our spotty internet connection.
Yeah,
actually, the internet connection has been fine, but your site's been down.
I know, what the heck? Nevertheless, I've got to give props to the condo for having an internet connection and one that we can get to from right in our room. Now, that's a coincidence. Because not everybody can get to the connection from the room, and lots of people have to take their computers down to the first floor at the little table that they've got there set up outside the office. It just so happens that we are right above the office, so right here in the bedroom, we can have an internet connection, which is sweet. I'll tell you what, makes my life so much better. Because finding internet connectivity the last 2 years has been, like, the biggest stress point of my vacation, and you don't need that kind of stress on your vacation.
No, stress-free.
We need to just take a bunch of pictures and upload them. That's what we need. Anyway, so tonight, the Reds versus the Twins, and tomorrow they are versus the Devil Rays.
That's right.
And then
We go home.
And then we go home, and opening day is right around the corner, and it's exciting. It's a big deal.
Woot.
All right. Well, until opening day, until the next time you hear from us, hang in there and
go Reds!
The Red Hot Broadcast is trying to make you jealous of being in Florida. Did it work? Let us know at red-hot-mama.com.